seems to be that there's a certain status of a person who is an expert, and not only an expert, because mumcha by itself would mean he's an expert, but he's a mumcha l'rabim, which, as we discussed, probably doesn't only mean super expert, but means something to do either with the public or with experience. The word rabim is probably crucial here, as some of the Rishonim point out, there are different kinds of mumcha, but whatever it means, there is a singular category where a person can be done even by himself. So what have we discussed so far? We've tried to define the term, and we saw the definition has probably some connection as to why it works in the first place. We discussed a little bit whether this is a din min haTorah or a din midrabanan. It could go in both directions. We saw that was probably tied into a few other issues. Now we spent some significant time talking about the fact that we have a tension between this and the Mishnah in Avos. And again, we always try to emphasize that Pirkei Avos is a sefer we should take very seriously and as a matter of halacha and something we should be faithful to. But here we had a little bit of a challenge because Tosfos and other Rishonim note that there is a conflict, there's some kind of a tension between this idea and a Mishnah in Avos, because the Mishnah says, Al tidin yichad, al tehei dan yichidi, that one should not judge by himself. And it's forcing some of the Rishonim to say, well, that's Derech HaMusar, that's maybe even Eitzah Tova, which is an attitude we try not to bring to Pirkei Avos. Again, I feel like I have to keep saying that disclaimer. But in this case, you find some of the Rishonim saying that's, however you want to phrase it, it's not absolute in terms of disqualifying. That you theoretically could have a valid din taking place by one dying, even though the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says you shouldn't do it. So we discussed how to balance that tension, and then we saw at the end of that discussion a machlokas about does it make a difference if the Bali din are mekabel this yachid mumcha. That maybe the Mishnah, even with its criticism, whether its criticism is absolute, or derech hamusar, or good advice, maybe we saw that some, like the Tashbetz and the Bar Tanuro said, that only applies if the litigants didn't actively accept this Yachid Mumcha. But if they actively accepted him, then that changes the whole story, and then there's no problem at all with the Yachid Mumcha. And the Tosfos Yontif very much disagreed, and we talked about various ways to understand that. So this issue is important. It's very important practically. It reflects a lot about the concept, but this is a very real practical issue nowadays, because this happens all the time. I got a call yesterday that this happens practically every day. The question comes up, is it appropriate to have disputes adjudicated by a single bank? Should we say that any time you have a monetary fight, it really should only be done in front of a panel of three, no matter who they are? Or do we have room in our practice today for one dayan adjudicating a monetary dispute? So what would you think, in terms of what we've seen so far, how would you answer that question practically? So practically speaking, is there room for this to happen nowadays or not? Or should we say, no, it's really not something that should be done for any reason that might come to mind? Sammy?
Well, it's hard to judge nowadays if someone is a mumcha, like it was described.
So one question is that even if we want to, let's say, take the Bartanura's position and Tashbetz's position, that we could create a scenario where the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos doesn't apply, even within that, maybe that was then and this is now. Maybe nowadays we don't have such a stature. Maybe people are not on the Madrega to reach such a level to be called a Mumcha Rabbi. Does anyone say that?
So
says it even more than others say it, right? Sos does say it. Shach says it. But others say it. So that is a real possibility. That it certainly could be that maybe we could be totally on board with the concept of a Yachid Mumcha, but we don't necessarily feel that anyone nowadays qualifies. So that might be one issue one might have practically, and indeed that's what the Shach writes. And the Shach says that nowadays this level doesn't exist for us. So you can bring any proof you want from any Gemara that maybe it's acceptable, it's not acceptable, it's workable, it's not workable. It doesn't matter to us because that was then, this is now. So there was somebody the Gemara could be talking about, Reb Nachman, whoever. Fine, he's a kind of yachid mofe, could work with him. But nowadays, we just don't have candidates. So that's the position of the Shach, but the Shach says, but you could imagine an exception to that too. But again, very practical, because this is the kind of thing that could come up any day. So the Shach writes that it could imagine an exception, that let's say, what kind of exception could you imagine? What does the Shach talk about? What kind of exceptions could you imagine? But if you want to say that nobody's on the Madrega to be a Yachid Mumcha like we're talking about, could you carve out any exceptions? Could you imagine exceptions, David?
Well, he mentioned very simple cases.
Okay. What if something's very simple? What if it's really open and shut? It's the kind of thing that you don't have to be a super genius to deal with. Okay, that's one possible exception the Shach notes. What else? What other exception might there be, even within this position? What exception could you imagine? If you're going to say that nobody is on the level of knowledge to carry this off effectively, but maybe it might still work if...
Maybe if he's an expert in a very focused area.
Okay, that's interesting. That's a suggestion. I don't think Shach mentioned that it's an interesting suggestion, that maybe we don't have Bikim of that level who can rule over everything, who have that kind of wide-ranging knowledge, but maybe we do have experts, and somebody could be so advanced in a certain area that we could trust him. Now that opens up whole other things. We'll get to that on our daf, actually. We talk about smicha, it's also one of the hot button issues nowadays, because the question of to what extent do we believe in specialists within halacha? And even if we believe in specialists, do we believe in specialists who are not also generalists to some degree? So the question of could we endorse a concept of someone being an expert in this one area, even if he's not considered a mumcha in other areas, that's itself a question we're actually going to see coming up on this daf. So whether or not that's a workable approach is an interesting question, but that's an interesting suggestion to throw out there. Sammy?
Also, you have the case where the Dayan specifically says that this isn't necessarily going according to the rules of the Din Torah.
Oh, okay. So that's something the Shach mentions also. And that's also relevant to some things we've seen. Right? What if the Dayan says, listen, the two of you, you need to have your dispute resolved. So I'm willing to help you with that. But I want you to understand that I don't consider myself to be a mumcha l'rabim. I don't represent myself to be a mumcha on that level. So the answer I'm going to give you, hopefully it's a wise, practical, considerate answer. But I'm not making any representation that this is emes lamito Torah misina. So in such a framework, could you have a Dayan Yachid practice? Again, that's a highly practical point, right? That's something you could easily imagine coming up today. Right? You say, listen, somebody comes, two people are in a dispute, this happens every day, literally, two people are in a monetary dispute, they don't want to go to Bezdin for any number of reasons. They want to come to one Rav who they trust, and they say, listen, we're willing to accept that the answer you give us may not be 100% Torah Sinai, but it'll be something we're willing to accept because we trust your judgment. So what about that? Now that harkens back to what we saw last week in the Bartender of the Tosfos Yontif. Now we saw a suggestion, we mentioned that the Sukkos David had this suggestion, that maybe the reason the Bartender was okay with one Dayan on all levels, if the litigants accept him, is because, he wrote, the partner is assuming that if they accept it, they're basically saying, we're fine with however you assess this. It becomes the truth. There's no chance, as the previous Mishnah warns, that this will lead to Gazel or Ava. We're not going to hate you. It's not going to be considered theft if you make a mistake, because there is no mistake. If we accept you, that becomes the truth, and that's all there is to it. So it sounds like the Shach is saying, you could imagine such a scenario. To represent yourself in 2016 as a mumcha l'rabim, we don't have that. But if you say to the people, listen, you want to come to me, fine, but understand that what I'm telling you may not be the only din Torah out there, but is something reasonable, then we can talk. Now that also is important to keep in mind, because soon enough we're going to see the sugya of pshara, and we're going to have to figure out to what extent this is relevant to understanding pshara. So the Shach says I could see those exceptions. So therefore, the Shach's point is, yachid mumcha l'rab nowadays, don't try that, but a few exceptions. And Miksos disagrees. And what is Miksos' position? Miksos' position, like Gavin indicated before, is he goes further than the Shach. And he says, he also agrees, you don't have a yachid mumcha nowadays. Like David pointed out. But he says more than that. He says, I don't agree that there are scenarios where it's a good idea. It's never a good idea to have a single dayan adjudicate, because you're going to lose out. What are you losing out? So Ksos understands that essentially, listen, we know, we talked about this a little bit the first semester, so we know that in other areas of halacha, you go to a posek, a single posek, and he asks a question, and he can answer you without convening a bet. So one would think that monetary law is also an area of halacha like everything else. So you should be able to do the same thing. You should be able to go to a single posek and get an answer. So Zos maintains, yeah, that's true. You could ask a shiloh to a posek like you do any other thing. But you're not going to have any of the advantages of a bezdin. We mentioned last week, Moshe Feinstein Shuva, maybe you won't have the Shrina. You won't have a particular presence that's going to be there when you have a Bezdin function. But he means also in more of a practical sense that there are certain details, there are certain halachas, which require a Bezdin, and you're not going to have those. All you have is a chacham answering your question, so that's not very good advice. Hi.
Are you choosing, though, to not get those advantages once you go to the one.
That's what the Ksos is assuming, that you are choosing to forfeit those advantages. And he's saying, basically, that he wouldn't recommend forfeiting those advantages, that there are... you also find, practically, just this is even what he's talking about, but just to give an example of how this plays out in our world nowadays. So one of the ramifications sometimes is that people who bring their disputes to a single dayan. So sometimes when you come to a Bezdin, in general, when you come to a Bezdin, you sign an arbitration agreement. You sign a Shai Beruri, which commits you legally in American law to follow what they say. So when you come to a single dayan, you may or may not have a Shai Beruri. So this reflects the fact, let's say if there is no Shai Beruri, and I've seen this happen in real life too, that people tend to take it a little bit less authoritatively. Oh, yeah, we went together for some advice to this wise rabbi, and it doesn't necessarily have the same binding power. So that's more generalized. This is not similar so much to the examples about to mention, but that's the kind of thing that Ksos could be saying. He says, yeah, listen, you'll get an answer, but you'll be missing out on certain key advantages of going through the formal system, and that's not a great idea, because let's say the example we just mentioned, you're still going to be fighting next week. You're still going to have the same problems you had going in. So there's a reason why we have a concept of Bezdin. And if you're going to forfeit all that, it's essentially bad advice. Okay?
Can one rabbi not make them sign a document saying they're going to listen to them?
You mean, can he make them?
Yeah, can he make them?
Yes, he can. Right, yes. So he can. That happens all the time also. So when he does that, that should also be legally binding.
So
and that should also create a mentality of seriousness. But just to give an example, this wasn't what the Ksos focused on, but just to give an example that is more relevant to our daily life, that's a reflection of how sometimes people can get the answer, but the answer outside the context of the formal Bezdin is not going to have all the advantages. So this could be one example. Yes, you could mitigate it by actually having a shtar, but it's a reflection of how you might be losing out on something, and it's not smart to forfeit that. It's not smart to say, okay, we'll keep our options open to ignore this guy, because he's not an actual Bezdin. So then at the end of the day, what are you really accomplishing by coming and doing that? Hi.
What are you making of this plan of the
Shtadur? What does it do?
What are you trying to find?
I'm actually illustrating the fact that nowadays, sometimes one difference that we see practically in real life between people who go to a Bezdin with their disputes and people who go to a single Talmud Chacham, they sometimes find, let's say if the single Talmud Chacham doesn't make them sign Shtar Berurin, that they're not actually going in with the same commitment, and that they're not coming out saying, okay, we have to follow this. They know when they go to a Beis Din that they have to follow what the answer is. But when they go to a Sichel Tamatachon, they should have the same attitude, but sometimes practically they don't. So it's just similar to what the Ksos is saying, that yeah, you could have any Tamar Chacham answer your Shilas, but it's not going to have the advantages, and that's not advisable. So the truth is, this was a big dispute if this was actually correct. In terms of some of these advantages, or some of these trappings of Beis Din, so this was actually a big dispute. Who was among the major Rishonim who said, indeed, it's true that there is something very much missing with the Dayan Yachid?
Rambam.
Yes, the Rambam, right? The Rambam in Perikei Halacha Yichas. The Rambam says you can have a Dayan Yachid. We have this concept of a Yachid Mumcha, but a major drawback, Hodah in front of this Yachid is not going to be considered Hodah. So let's say, for example, we know that one of the major differences, we mentioned this a little bit last year, I remember coming up in a few contexts, that when we talk about mamon, we talk about money in general in halacha, so there's two types. There is straight out monetary obligations because you borrowed money, you stole money, you damaged something, so that's what we call mamon. And then we have punitive concepts in the Torah, like kefel, you pay twice the amount that you stole, and that's called knas. We'll talk about it a little bit more. So a knas is an onesh, and mamon is not really an onesh. Mamon is simply restitution. It's fixing the problem. So one major difference from one side to the other, a katsa or a katsa, between the two, is when it comes to onshin. So we have the idea, ein adam mesim atzma rasha, that a person cannot convict himself. You can't come and supply evidence against yourself. So that means you can't make yourself chayiv nisa in Beis Din, and you can't make yourself chayiv knas either. So we have this rule that mod of the knas is potter. Somebody comes in and he acknowledges something which would get him chayiv the knas, so that preemptively will release him from the knas, which is the polar opposite of mamon, of straight restitution. Because there, if the question is simply, did I borrow money from you, or did I steal money from you? So then we say the opposite rule. What's the rule there? Hodas baldin, kmei eidim dami. That a person who comes and says, yes, indeed, I owe you money, so that is as effective as 100 eidim. In other words, we take his word very seriously. So it's the polar opposite from the attitude we take to onshin, including monetary penalties. There, your own word cannot get you in trouble. But when it comes to the actual chiyuv, so mod de beknas is patur. I'm sorry, because actually, if so, mode of the mamon is chayiv. So, what's the story if a person comes in front of a dayan yachid and his mode? Is that hodah considered to be an actual hodah? So the Rambam writes, no. The Rambam says this dayan yachid he can function, but he's not a Beis Din. And therefore, if somebody is moed in front of him, it doesn't have the status of somebody who came and was moed in Beis Din. What's the Rambam source? Anyone know the Rambam source? So you're in good company, because no one else knows the Rambam source either. So if you look at the Kesef Mishnah to find where the sources usually are, what does he tell you? Nothing. And you look at the Lechem Mishnah, who does he quote as the source? The Rambam. He says the Rambam came up with this on his own. So the Avnezer in his Chuvus, in the first Chuvah in Chosha Mishpat, the Avnezer says he doesn't really know what's going on here because it's clearly a Chiddush. It's not so obvious from the Gemara that this should be true. And normally when the Rambam says Chiddushim, he has a way of announcing he's saying a Chiddush. But how does he do that?
Royally,
something like that. He says, it seems to me, he makes it clear that he's saying a Kiddush. And half the time, you have a commentator saying, how can we use that language when there is a source? So here, he doesn't seem to have a source. So, where's he getting it from? Why did he not announce that this was a Kiddush? That was the Abdinez's question. How come the Rambam didn't announce it was a Kiddush? And the truth is, it's more than just the lack of a source. Right? What else could bother us about the Rambam on a more fundamental level? As the Rambam takes this position, we have a very fundamental question to ask. Yes?
I mean, if he's acceptable as a dayan, then why doesn't it go all the way?
Okay, so that's one way to ask the question. Right? What's missing? Why don't we let him take this all the way? We could ask the question in an even more fundamental way, I think. Like, you could also ask, well, what do I need him for? What does it mean? Our Gemara tells us there's such a thing as a Yachid Mumcha El Rabin Dan Yechid. So if you're just telling me he can answer Shilas and that's it, so like it's so said, that's always true. So what do I need this special Chiddush? I mean, if the Gemara is telling us that there's some significance to Yachid Mumcha El Rabin, it's got to be something a little bit more than he can answer your question. So, in addition to trying to figure out where the Rambam gets it from, we have a problem on a fundamental level, because simply, what is the din of the Yachid Mumcha here to tell us? What does it do for us? So indeed, if you look at the Torah, right, the Torah quotes the Rosh. And what's the Rosh's position as the Torah understands it? There's no chiluk. There's no difference. That the whole point is, a Yachid Mumcha can function like a Beis Din, and therefore, whatever a Beis Din can do, a Yachid Mumcha can do. There's no reason to distinguish. And if you look at the Bach, so the Bach writes, because he understands that the concept of Yachid Mumcha is a Takana de Rabbanan. We discussed last week that we weren't sure what direction it's coming from. It could be that that's really the Din Min HaTorah, if you only need one Dayan. And that the need for three is a din rabbanan. That was one opinion in the Gemara. Or it could be we're coming from the opposite direction, that you need three men at Torah. But the rabbis made life easier on us so that we could have a functioning society. So they said, you need three men at Torah, but one qualified mumcha could do it. So the Bach says, that's the idea, that one qualified mumcha could do it. So therefore, they made the tekan across the board. They didn't start distinguishing. Which you have to figure out if that has to be true. I mean, generally, we have expression lo plug, which he uses that expression here also. Lo plug normally means that we don't distinguish. We generally invoke that in the context of Yisurim Drabbanan, like we started to talk about yesterday. But Yisurim Drabbanan, sometimes we take absolute policies, and we say that even if in this case it doesn't make sense to apply it, but we have to impose it across the board, low plug. So this is a slightly unusual usage of low plug. He's saying that Chazal instituted something for our benefit, and they instituted it across the board for all purposes. Which you could question if that has to be true. Right? You could question that from our own topic here. Right? Because we know, for example, that we need a Beis Din of Shluchim to do certain things. And nowadays, we don't have any smuchim. So we have the mechanism of shlichu sayim that we talked about, that we have a mechanism, it's probably a drabbanan mechanism to allow some Beis Din functions. And it works for some functions and not all. So it's not so obvious that you would apply a low plug kind of thinking here. But that's what the Bach says, that the Rosh thinks that you have a din of Yachid Mumcha, he's effective for everything, and that's going to include Hodah in front of him. So, is the Ksos right that the Rambam is basically saying, and the Ksos is saying, like the Rambam, that Yachid Mumcha is not Beis Din at all? It's just a posek? Again, leaving us with the question, what's the Chiddush? What's the whole point of the Sugya? Shmuel Rozovsky, I think we've mentioned his name in the past. Shmuel Rozovsky was one of the great Magid Shir of the second half of the 20th century, the Yeshiva in Panovich. So Shmuel Rozovsky explains that he doesn't think that's what the Rambam means. That's what the Ksos says, and he thinks the Ksos is difficult, again, for reasons that we've touched upon. But he thinks what the Rambam means is that a Yachid is not a Beis Din. But he is empowered to express din. there is a, such a thing as din, as opposed to just an answer. So a response to a question is a psak, but in the context of a monetary dispute, you need din. So what a yochid mumche will do, even according to the Rambam, says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, is still din. It's just it doesn't make up a bezdin. A bezdin is a panel of three, and that's not going to work if you don't have actual three dayanim. So far we see that this is one example that might be affected by the question of just how far do we go with the yachid mumche. Could the yachid mumche be effective for everything, or are there limitations such as hozar in front of him isn't significant? Is that really
the
question?
Yeah, what's the practical difference between being a basin and expressing within?
Oh, so that's a good question too. Seems that there is a certain status that comes from this ruling that is binding on the parties. You could also talk in more spiritual terms that the Gemara says that din evokes the Shechina, as we mentioned before. Maybe that makes a difference. There are other purposes in terms of it having real ramifications and not being revocable that seem to emerge from it being din. So his point is essentially, it's not like the Ksov says that this is just an answer, like he can answer in any area, so he can answer in Choshen Mishpat also. No, this is a din. But a bezdin is not. So to have a hodar in front of it, that doesn't count. Strup?
So the Ksov says that when a dying yachid gives a ruling, it's not a din?
That's what he's implying. Because the Ksov's language is that you can have one person paskin, because you can always have one person paskin. So that's effective, but it's not really going to accomplish so much, because hodar is not going to work things like that. So when he says that point about hodar, he's sharing a position with the Rambam. We see the Rambam says hodar in front of him doesn't count. So Shmuel Rozovsky's point is that, yes, they share that position, that hodar in front of the bezdin, hodar in front of the dayan yachid, rather, is not considered to be hodar. But it doesn't mean that the Rambam has to actually be saying what the Ksos is saying, that it's nothing more than just an answer. The Rambam could agree that it's actual din, but he's not a bezdin. Right?
So where did he get this from?
Oh, still, that still leaves us with half a question. We still don't know yet where he gets it from, but we have to also address the more fundamental question is, how does he understand the Gemara at all? I mean, what is the Chiddush of the Gemara? So if we say, like, Shmuel Rozovsky, we're a little bit on the way there, that we can say, all right, it means something, but it has other ramifications and other distinctions because it's not called a bezdin.
Why does the Rambam decide that specifically hodah is a din?
As opposed to other details of bezdin.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's a good question. So let's try to talk about that for a few. We're going to have to break in a few minutes left to continue this tomorrow. We're going to apologize for the truncated time today. But let's think about that for a minute. So what other possible ramifications could you think of? What other aspects are there of bezdin that we could question doesn't work for the other? Because the truth is, you're right, that there could be at least three or four or five other questions we could ask. Well, one is actually specifically connected to hodah. So we know that hodah is relevant in order for a person to obligate himself. Hodah is baal din mei din dami. What other ramifications are there for hodah? Address that?
I was going to say different difference.
Okay, so we'll tell on your difference in a second. But what else does hodah affect? What other din had the word modeh in it? So modeh
mode
mitzvahs. Right? We know the person is modeh the mitzvahs. So then, that creates an obligation of a shvuah on him. Somebody says, you owe me money, and I say, no, I don't owe you anything, I never heard of you. So then the burden of proof is on him. And that's what we call kofer bakol, and the other person has the rule of motzeh mechaver lo varaya, he has to prove the point. But if I say, no, I don't owe you 100, I only owe you 50, so that's called modeh b'mitzvah. So that changes things a lot, because once I say that, now I'm a little bit on the hook. And I've acknowledged that there's something going on here. So now, if I want to get out of the other half, I have to take a shvuah. And we take shvuahs pretty seriously, so that's significant. So this hodah has some pretty major ramifications. So what about if I moved in front of the dayan yachid? So it comes out from the ksos, so that's also garbage. That's also not going to be mechayev mi shvuah. But the Nesivus disagrees. The Nesivus writes that no, we never found any posek saying that we have the din of the Yachid Mumche and the Gemara, And we have it in Mota Vixas, and the Sivas thinks that, as far as we know, it applies in that context too. Thinks the Xos is wrong. So, Tamir, you wanted to suggest another possible issue?
Kfiyah.
Oh, so Kfiyah, that's a big question too. So that's something Tosfos talks about, right? We'll have to, that problem we'll have to get into a little more tomorrow, because it's an important topic, and it'll be a longer topic, but that's certainly a question. Can a Yachid Mumcha be Kofeh? Can he compel adherence to his rules? Any other possible suggestions? What else might be a possible ramification of this? Huh? Oh, so that's a great question, practically speaking. What exactly is the, who in general can do Hefker Bez and Hefker, and can the Yachid do that? That's a great one. Okay, and we'll try to consider that point tomorrow also. What else? Kfiyah we'll have to consider tomorrow. What else might be ramification?
Maybe if you can do get.
Oh, so that, we to draw on last semester, we spoke at great length whether or not you need a bez in the first place for a get. So you'd have to go through a complicated process to figure out whether or not you need a bezdin for a get, and that probably also is relevant to what Sammy's asking, that we saw a possibility last semester that you need a bezdin for a get only if it involves kfiyah. So the question then could come up, if you said that Yachid Mumcha could be kofeh, so could it be kofeh on a get? Okay, anything else? Any other suggestions? We'll mention one more, and then we'll have to continue tomorrow. So what about knossos? So we said before that knossos, these extra monetary penalties, these penalties involve money that go beyond the basic obligation, like kefil, so in general, we don't do them nowadays at all. So we don't do them nowadays because we don't have dayonim smuchim. But let's say you do have dayonim smuchim. Right? Let's say you have the time of the Gemara. Let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you have a yachid mumcha samuch. So could he take on the whole status of the bezdin in order to impose knossos too? So that was a discussion. The Sefer in Medina, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim about 100 years ago, Meir Orbach, known as the Kalash Rav, so even Medina has a discussion about this. He thought that the Rambam sounds like he probably couldn't impose a knoss. He's not a bezdin. He's a bezdin for a knoss. And the Yachid Mumcha, even if he was a samuch, doesn't have that status. However, as he notes, there's also a Ran. The Ran on Daf Hey, here on our Daf. I don't think I actually put this in our Mar Makomos, maybe we can add it for tomorrow. But the Ran says there's two types of Mumcha Yachid L'Ravin. There's a Mumcha Yachid L'Ravin in the Chutz La'aretz, or Bezman Hazeh, when there's no smuch from anywhere, who could be called a Mumcha Yachid L'Ravin, but is not Samuch. And you could also have one who is someone. You could have, in the time of Eretz Yisrael, when they still had smuchim around, someone who is a Yach Mumcha Rabbim and is a Samuch. And apparently, such an individual would be able to have the status of a Bezdin. So if a Bezdin of smuchim could impose Knossos, so then a Yach Mumcha Samuch should also be able to impose Knossos. So just to touch upon Judah's question, so this issue of Hodah is the one that's most explicitly dealt with in the Rambam. But we find that certainly there are many other things we want to know about a Bezdin where it poses the question, should we make distinctions also? And that's something that we'll have to pick up with tomorrow. So just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that, so we saw in our previous year in discussions about the status of Yachid Mumcha L'Rabbim, and the Shach says nowadays you don't have this, so you shouldn't do it, unless it's something very pashut, or the person announces that he's not actually being done in Torah. And so says, even those exceptions you shouldn't do, because the Yachid essentially is just passing in shaylos like any other area of halacha, but you lose out on all the advantages of Bezdin, and that's a bad idea. And the Hodah, for example, is not going to count for anything. So that position, the Hodah is not going to count, is explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's not a Bezdin, and therefore Hodah is not going to work. And the Rush quoted his father as saying there's no distinction, and the Rambam, in fact, didn't seem to have a source, as we see from what's not written in the Kesef Mishnah, but is written in the Lecha Mishnah, and the Adonais are also pointing out, it seems like a Kiddush, even though it's not identified as such. And besides not having a source, it more fundamentally troubles us, because what is the whole Kiddush if it doesn't have any Bezdin qualities at all? So then we discussed a little bit the position of Shmuel Rozovsky, who noted a little differently that he thinks the Rambam is not like the Ksos, that it's not that it's just a psak, it is a din, it's just not called a bezdin. And then we talked also about the question more than the mitzvahs. The Ksos would say there's no more than the mitzvahs, and the Sivas would say it's not true, but the mitzvahs applies here as well. And then we talked about Knossos. Could you impose Knossos if you were a Samach? Sounds like from the Rambam that you probably couldn't. And the Rambam has a chiluk that a Yachin Mumcha who's not Samach couldn't because he's not Samach, but one who is Samach perhaps could. And that might be another difference. Then the question is brought up about Kfiya. We mentioned that might have ramifications also if a get needs a basin for Kfiya. So how does that play a role here? So let's pick up with this question of Kfiya tomorrow and perhaps see a few other ramifications as well. And then once we finish this, we'll get to the topic of Taos B'din, which of course is a major, major sugya with ramifications in all kinds of areas and a very important topic for us to try to get some understanding of. Okay, so who would like to daven for us? Do we have anyone here?